giant robot smashing into other giant robots.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots podcast. We are recording live at RailsConf 2013 in Portland, Oregon. My name is Ben Orenstein. I'm here today with Ryan Bates. Hey, Ryan.
Hello, Ben. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So you actually drove here, right?
Yep.
Where do you live?
Down in Myrtle Creek, Oregon. So that's about a three-hour drive.
Okay. I saw you brought some board games in the car.
That's right. Yeah, I got Agricola and Seven Wonders and Stone Age and Carcassonne and quite a few others.
I've played Agricola. I don't know. I've played this before, and that was the first game where it was literally so complicated to get set up and going that I had to go like watch YouTube videos.
Yeah. And then I think I did the same thing. It's like, okay, let's take an hour to learn this board game so we can have fun with it. But
and it still takes an hour to set up, even once you know what you're doing.
It does take a while.
It's a really cool game. Like, it was one of the best, like, balanced sort of resource management games I've played, but it was just, like, almost, it just became too much.
Yeah, it's really brilliant, but it's hard to find a group to play with that's dedicated enough to it. It's not a very light pick-up-and-play game.
That's certainly true. Yeah, I play most games like family or parties and things like that, so
right.
I've been trending more towards things that are like, all right, here are the rules.
Apples, apples. You can always bring that out.
Exactly. Or, yeah, Cards Against Humanity more often in my case.
I haven't played that one.
Oh, it's good. It's apples to apples with, like, X-rated cards.
Oh, I remember hearing about that. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't had a chance to play it.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's really fun. So how's RailsCast doing these days?
Doing great. Very successful. I love it as much as ever.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's not, now that you switched to full time on this recently.
Yeah. It was, when I switched to RailsCast Pro about a year and a half ago, maybe. Mm-hmm. I, basically quit my job and started full time on it.
Yeah.
And that transition is a little bit tricky, and there's definitely challenges that are introduced doing that, but it's been really well so far.
Mm. So are you running the business basically all by yourself?
Yeah, it's just me.
How's it going? How do you like being the solo guy?
Answering support email is probably one of the biggest issues. You know, it takes an hour or two a day to get through all those, but you know, I may hire someone someday to help out with that.
Mm-hmm.
I try to resist it partially, though, because I don't want to transition into a management position where it's like I want to keep it real, keep it close to the community and stay real with people. So
yeah, you wrote recently, and it was something that I wonder myself, which is if you're not working as a Rails developer actively, then is it going to be hard to stay sort of on the edge of things and keep your experience or the things you're covering relevant?
Yeah. And that is one of the challenges that I came across is, you know, quitting my full-time job as a Rails developer to teach Rails full-time. There's definitely challenges that introduces because I used a lot of the knowledge that I learned from being a Rails developer as fuel for my episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that lack of, you know, I still work with Rails applications. You know, RailsCast.com, of course, is Rails application and a couple others on the side, but none of them quite as a dedicated full-time position. And so that definitely does present challenges of switching from a developer to a teacher and also staying on top of all the new technologies that are coming out.
Right. Although I imagine you also, at the same time, have more time to stay on top of that stuff. Now you can say it's actually part of my job to make sure to like go research these things.
Yeah. Yeah. So it has definitely pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
I spend a lot more time researching than I did a year or two ago because I do have to, you know, I don't have that extra fuel for the fire from the other development that I need to actually spend more time kind of building test applications, trying things out to make sure they work and make sure it's relevant.
Yeah. Do you miss having code being... Do you miss writing code as the main part of your day, like as your job?
I still feel like I write code as the main part of my day just because I feel like I'm doing it all the time still. But there are a couple aspects I do miss about it. But writing code for myself is kind of freeing, but also having those constraints of, oh, you need to, you know, match the story or whatever of performing a specific goal with this business is was kind of nice to have those constraints sometimes.
Mm. How do you feel like your coding style has changed over time?
I like to say it's improved, but
yeah. Do you think making these RailsCasts have improved it?
Oh yeah. For one thing, it's kind of opened up my knowledge of I get to learn a little bit of while I'm teaching these topics and researching them, I get to learn along with the viewers in a sense. You know, every week I'm learning new topics and new ideas and exploring new plugins and people. I'm reading code probably more than ever just to see how these new gems that are coming out are working.
Right. And that helps a ton.
Yeah.
That goes a long way. Do you practice TDD when you're writing your own code?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm a big proponent of, you know, using Capybara to, you know, drive the end user experience in a way, and then, you know, going down to smaller unit tests to handle the small details of the tight logic and branching possibilities.
Yeah. Do you subscribe to anybody else's subscription Ruby content?
Yeah. Abdi Grimm's, you know, Ruby Tapas and Destroy All Software used to be subscribed to that when I was there.
Right. When it was subscribable.
Yeah.
How are you still actively maintaining all your open source stuff?
Not as much.
You're maintaining it not actively?
That is one thing that I do wish, you know, I would improve on. That is one of my goals to improve on, is to be a more active maintainer of open source projects. I sort of build tools as I need them, and then once they fit my needs, I sort of, you know, let them adrift. And it's a little bit difficult to come back, you know, see 100 issues in the tracker, and it's like, oh boy, where do I start? Yeah. How do I manage this? I've had a few people that have come up to me and said, hey, can I help manage this? And I point them to the issue tracker, and I'm like, go at it. I'm fairly strict on who I actually allow just to commit to the project, because, you know, if you open the doors, it kind of becomes just a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyone who's willing to help contribute through managing the issue tracker is definitely welcome.
Hmm. What is what goes into producing a typical RailsCast episode?
Oh boy, so I have like a text list of topic ideas that I kind of add to throughout the week as I, you know, open up Ruby Weekly and see this new gem came out. I add it to the list, you know, research it more, and then spend probably a good, you know, 6 or 8 hours a week just researching various topics and gems that have come out. And then once I pick on one, it's like, okay, this will make a good episode, I think. And then I, you know, spend some more time playing around with it, exploring it, building some example projects to see exactly if it's going to work out, if it'll present well in a screencast format, and then start recording.
How often do you throw stuff, ideas away at that point?
Quite a bit. More than, you know, I like to. It's really hard to, you know, spend a good day and a half or so just investing into this gem or idea, and then realizing, you know, it's not quite working out, not quite ready for prime time. You know,
totally.
But it's, you know, that's another issue of the difficulty of this transition, is I'm having to do more research, but that involves kind of playing a guessing game exactly as to what's going to fit well as a screencast until I get halfway through and then realize, oh, got to try something else.
Yeah. So after you've decided something has made the cut and would probably be a good candidate, what's next?
After I've built the kind of example project of, okay, this is what I want to cover and demonstrate, I start recording pretty much immediately. Sometimes I build a little outline about what exactly I want to talk about, but I don't spend any time writing a script or anything like that. I hit the record button and start it.
Huh. And that works pretty well?
Yeah. It's been working great so far. I'm fairly strict on what I end up putting in the final product, though. So I do a lot of takes, and so I do very short clips, perhaps 10 or 20 seconds even, of, okay, this is what I'm teaching right here, and this is what I want to talk about and say, until I get what I want to say in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I move on to the next clip of, you know, 10 or 20 seconds of teaching this part of the screencast, and then we have the final product.
Mm-hmm. And so a lot of editing at the end then?
It's actually not very much editing, because I pretty much throw every take away until I get the final take. And so the editing is just basically stringing clips together.
Mm-hmm. And then upload and publish and you're done?
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of details, like write descriptions, do some fix up in the code, you know, make a little screenshot image and stuff like that.
So what's a rough count of like total hours per episode, would you guess?
It used to be about an hour per minute of an episode. That's probably increased a little bit since I do a little more research and have, you know, throwaway topics and stuff, but
yeah,
that's still a very rough guideline.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I've made a couple screencasts, and that was somewhere on the order of that.
Yeah.
Usually a little longer, probably.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 2 hours per minute.
Sometimes.
Which is brutal.
I know, it is. It depends a lot on how well I know a topic, how just smoothly it's working out. Some episodes just fall together, you know,
mm-hmm.
but others are just a grind to get stuck on a problem for an hour, and it's like, how do I get this working?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of tricky.
That's one of the nice things about a mostly off-the-cuff podcast is the hours per minute ratio is much better.
Yeah, it's nice.
Sometimes you have to pack up a ton, like 50 pounds of podcast equipment and drag it to RailsConf, but other than that, it's not so bad.
You got a really nice setup here, though. I'm pretty impressed.
Well,
this is amazing.
Yeah, this is Chad and Anna Mariel getting all the stuff packed in that big hitman-looking suitcase you see behind you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. She's cutting out the foam to like put the mic stands in and the mics in. It looks kind of awesome.
So did you have to fly this all with you?
Yeah, it was check bag. It probably would have been cheaper to ship it or something. But
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. It wasn't that expensive. Chad says it wasn't that expensive. That's good. And worth it. You said you have a few hours of support per day. Are these like mostly like billing issues?
Those are a little bit, but a lot of them are like, help, this part on this older screencast isn't quite working. How do I, you know, go about this? Sometimes I'm able to afford time to research that. Other times I can just point them to Stack Overflow or quickly research and point them to, okay, this might help. Sorry, I can't go into full detail, but I, you know, try to help out when I can with those.
Mm-hmm. And there's also comments on the screencasts themselves, so you can sort of, so other people probably help you or have had the same problem, hopefully.
Yeah, with everything changing so quickly, it's amazing how fast stuff gets out of date, or I try to add show notes, you know, updates when I can, but it's a little bit difficult to keep up with, you know, the library of 400 episodes of topics, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like going to DHH's keynote today, where he's saying that the community as a whole is like very willing to keep pushing forward, and
mm-hmm.
I think that's like that's awesome, and like we don't value stability as much as more like, you know, improvement and the new things, but that definitely makes the job for people like you harder. It's like education stuff.
I wouldn't trade it for anything though, because it's so valuable to keep pushing us forward and trying out new things.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned that you spend a lot of time paying attention to what is up and coming. Like you read Ruby Weekly, which I think is Peter Cooper's newsletter. And so you're seeing a lot of gems. Do you see any trends for where things are going or exciting things that are coming around the bend?
Well, I think it's really interesting to see how client-side JavaScript MVC frameworks are becoming more and more popular and seeing how that transition affects Rails. And I've been really enjoying AngularJS particularly. I researched it a little bit, and I don't know, it just seemed to click with me when I was researching it for the episodes I covered it on. And I'll probably, you know, cover that a little bit more in the future. I'm curious to see how well it can just play a part in more maybe traditional document-based applications, even as being an alternative to just, you know, jQuery and our approaches there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have all these examples of single-page applications that work well as examples, but a lot of websites aren't really, you know, single-page apps that it transitions as well, too. So I'm, you know, I kind of want to explore Angular more.
Hmm. It was interesting to see how much of DHH's keynote seemed to be a response to single-page apps.
Right.
It was like we're kind of defending the castle from this onslaught of put it all on the client.
Right, yeah. And I definitely think he brings up a good point about how it's important to keep focus and not try to make Rails fit every kind of solution and every kind of possibility. It'll just become this grab bag of, you know, just a big mess. But
yeah,
it's good to see it, you know, reminder of it's extracted out of Basecamp, and so it should fit that kind of document-based application the best. Not that it can't be used for the others. I think it has definitely use cases, but it's you know, best for what it's extracted out of.
Totally. And I agree that I think that's a good approach. Like, there are pros and cons to it, and like the downside is it's sort of heavily coupled to the way he wants to write applications.
Right.
So if you don't want to write applications like that, then it's not going to be a good fit for you.
Right.
But the flip side is, as long as you're doing something that's kind of like Basecamp, you're probably going to have a really good experience.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So what do you think the future holds for you and Railscast? Are you sound like you're happy doing it, so you want to come.
Yeah, I very much enjoy it. I feel like, you know, teaching is really my full-time profession. I love doing it, but it's definitely taken a toll as far as, you know, it's a challenge to come up with new episodes. I recently cut back on my schedule a little bit to about one episode a week, sometimes two, and it's helped a lot so far.
Yeah.
You know, just relieve some of the stress of having such a tight deadline and giving me a little more flexibility and researching topics and also hopefully contributing to some open source again.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to be able to do that.
Yeah. I saw a tweet from you saying that you're going to have your RailsConf jacket or your RailsCasts jacket on.
Yeah.
Do you have that with you? Does it still have the sweet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here
nice.
It is. Yeah.
Very cool.
I've had this for a couple of years now. I had another one before that and... You know,
do you get
cool.
Do you get recognized by your voice a lot from people having watched?
Yeah,
your
I actually have a story of my first RailsConf back in 2007. You know, I just started RailsCast, you know, maybe a few months before that, and then I was sitting at the lunch table and just kind of talking with guys, seeing you know what they do, and then they go, "Are you Ryan Bates?" And I go, "Yeah," and they go, "I watch RailsCast all the time. I appreciate it so much." And then it turns out like half the people at the table, you know, watch RailsCast, and it's like, wow, this is kind of weird. You know, I'm talking to these people that, I don't know, they're strangers to me, but they somehow
totally.
Know me and
right.
recognize me by my voice. So.
Yeah. How do you feel about your Ruby celebrity?
It's a little intimidating sometimes. I don't cut myself out for good celebrity material, but it's really fun to be able to talk with people and hear that I've helped them out.
Oh, totally. Yeah, and I think you have massively across the community done a lot for it. So thank you for that.
Yeah, welcome.
Awesome. So would you say you're sort of a natural introvert then?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But you put so much out there.
It's as long as I'm behind some kind of mic where you don't have to see people, and I also have.
I'm sorry, you have to see me for this one. We could put a divider up next time.
No, you're great, and I have you know the ability to edit it. I'm not as bad. One reason I don't do live presentations is just because I kind of blank out when I'm under that pressure. I like to be able to edit it.
That's interesting. So. I didn't think about that. So do you do any conference speaking?
No, I've gotten on stage like once or twice for small things, but not anything big.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you've done your part. So you're enjoying running the company. You like what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else in the future you see? Any changes to RailsCast or to what you're doing with your day to day?
I don't think so. I think things are humming along pretty nicely. You know, just keep going and staying up with Rails as it evolves and Rails 4 and beyond. And I'm looking forward to seeing what everyone comes up with and what new gems come out. And I always love exploring new topic ideas.
Yeah, awesome. So we have an innovative thing happening, which is we just took a question from the audience. What's your name?
David,
threw a question at Ryan that I will rephrase and ask for the podcast audience at home, which is, can you go into some of the details about what's the difference between RailsCast Pro and the free offering?
Right. Yeah. The RailsCast started as free. And then when I transitioned to full time, I needed to support myself somehow. So I introduced RailsCast Pro. And RailsCast Pro is basically taking the concept of the free episodes, but trying to go a little bit more deeper into some of the topics, and it'll be a little bit longer. I try to keep free episodes around 5 to 10 minutes, and pro episodes about 10 to 15. That allows me to, you know, research a topic a little heavier and get into more meat of the topic. And so some of the episodes are pro and require the paid subscription, which is just a monthly $9 fee.
Mm-hmm. I think it was interesting to see how strong the adoption was when you first announced this, because you had done, I think, hundreds of free episodes at this point for years. And so I remember seeing tons of comments were just like, this is probably going to be awesome, but I'm going to buy it anyway because, you know, just to thank you for all the work you've done.
Right. And I really appreciate all the subscribers. They've helped me a lot in launching the pro subscription. It's been a great success.
Yeah.
I also want to point out that there are revised episodes as well, where I take older free episodes that, you know, have gone out of date. Maybe they're for Rails 2 or something and revise them up to new standards and new best practices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had people say the same thing about just I want to support you for doing nice things in the past, and I think it's awesome that the community is wired that way, and that there are people that are like, yeah, this, you know, it's tight enough and if it's family like enough that it's like, you've done nice things, therefore I'd like to support you.
Yeah, this community is so awesome. It's just a blessing to be part of it. Really, it is.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for stopping by and chatting.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you looking forward to any particular talks at the conference?
You know, I haven't even really sat down and looked at the schedule, so I'm kind of just looking at the next slot and seeing what's coming up, and so far it's been great.
A just-in-time conference talk compilation?
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Cool. This is usually the part of the podcast where I ask if, or I give the guests a chance to plug their service. I think everyone probably knows, but it's railscast.com right.
Yep.
If you're interested. How do people get in touch with you?
Just the feedback on railscast.com.
Okay. And you're R. Bates on Twitter, I believe.
Yep.
Cool. If you'd like to access show notes for this episode, you can go to thoughtbot.com/podcast/47. Today's podcast was recorded live at RailsConf 2013 by Chad Pytel and edited by Edward Lovell. Thanks for listening.